I'm going to do a little bit of reading, and so just stay with me here, and because we're going to pray. But I had in my heart to read some things about the creative power of the spoken word, and because that's what prayer is. Prayer is speaking words of the kingdom. Prayer is speaking, praying the word of God. It's decreeing things, it's declaring things, it's releasing faith. Whether we're talking about the word or whether we're praying something out of the spirit, we need to understand the words that we speak are creative power. And so this first part that I'm going to read, and this is, some of you probably have read it before, but it's The Fourth Dimension by Dr. Cho. And so he says this. He goes, there are certain steps we must follow for faith to be properly incubated, and a central truth we must learn about the realm that faith operates in. There's also a basic principle about the spoken word that we need to understand. So I want to speak to you about the creative power of the spoken word and the reason why the usage of it is such importance. One morning I was eating breakfast with one of Korea's leading neurosurgeons, who was telling me about various medical findings on the operation of the brain. He asked, Dr. Cho, did you know that the speech center in the brain rules over all the nerves? He said, you ministers really have power because according to our recent findings in neurology, the speech center in the brain has total dominion over all the other nerves. Then I laughed and said, oh, I've known that for a long time. Well, he goes, well, how'd you know that? He asked. He goes, well, in the world of neurology, these are actually new findings. He goes, I kind of laughed. I replied that I had learned it from Dr. James. He goes, who is this Dr. James? He asked. Well, he's one of the famous doctors in the Bible days. Nearly 2,000 years ago, I replied, and in his book, chapter 3, the first verse, Dr. James clearly defines the activity importance of the tongue and the speech center. The neurosurgeon was completely amazed. Does the Bible really teach about this? Yes, I answered. The tongue is the least member of our body, but can bridle the whole body. Then this neurosurgeon began to expound their findings. He said that the speech nerve center had such power over all of the body that simply speaking can give one control over his body to manipulate it in the way he wishes. He said, if someone keeps on saying, I'm going to become weak, then right away the nerves, and this is what the neurologist said, then right away all the nerves receive that message and they say, oh, let us prepare to become weak. For we received instruction from our central communication that we should become weak. Then they, in their natural sequence, adjust their physical attitudes to weakness. If someone says, well, I have no ability, I can do this job, then right away all the nerves begin to declare the same thing. Yes, they respond. We receive instruction from the central nervous system saying that we have no ability to give up striving to develop any capacity or capability. We must prepare ourselves to be part of an incapable person. If someone keeps saying, I'm very old, I'm so very old, and I'm tired and can't do anything, then right away the speech central control responds, giving out orders to that effect. The nerves in your body actually respond. Yes, we are old. Yes, we're ready for the grave. Let's be ready to go ahead and just start disintegrating. If someone keeps saying that he is old, then that person is soon going to die. That neurosurgeon continued saying, that man should never retire. Once a man retires, he keeps repeating to himself, I'm retired. And all the nerves start responding and become less active and ready for a quick death. That conversation carried much meaning for me and made an impact on my life, for I could see that one important usage of the spoken word is the creation of a successful personal life. People easily adapt to speaking in a negative way. Boy, am I poor. I don't have any money to give to the Lord. When an opportunity does come for a job with a good salary, his nervous system actually responds with fear. I'm not able to do that. I'm not able to be rich because I haven't received that reverse instruction from my nerve center yet. I'm supposed to be poor, so I can't accept the job or do a good job, or I sabotage it. I can't afford to have the money. Like attracts like, and since you act as if you were a poor person, you attract poverty. This attraction, if it remains consistent, will allow you to permanently dwell in poverty. Exactly as the Bible said nearly 2,000 years ago, it is so today. Medical science has just recently discovered, now this book was written quite a while ago, medical science has just recently discovered this principle. This one neurosurgeon said that people should keep saying to themselves, I'm young, I'm able, I can do the work of a young person no matter what my age is. The nerves of that person will then come alive and thus receive power and strength from the nerve center. The Bible says clearly that whoever controls the tongue controls the whole body. What you speak, you are able to get. If you keep on saying that you're poor, then all your system conditions itself to attract poverty, and you will feel at home in poverty. You would rather be poor. But if you keep on saying that you're able, that you can achieve success, then all of your body would be bridled to success. You would be ready to meet any challenge, ready to conquer it. This is the reason you should never speak in a negative way. He goes on and shares a lot of stuff about the Korean culture, but I wanted to read this section here. And this is, he translates it into going to, about talking about God's purposes. There's a second reason we need to use the creative power of the spoken word. Not only can it help us to be successful in our lives, but the Holy Spirit also needs us to use it to bring about God's purposes. When I first entered the ministry, I could feel myself in a struggle, even while I was delivering my sermons. And I sensed a hindrance in my spirit. Then the Spirit of the Lord would come down into my spirit, and it would be as if I were watching a television. On my mind screen, I could see growths disappear, tuberculosis healed, cripples leaning heavily on crutches, suddenly throwing them aside and walk. Korea is such distance from America that I heard very little about this type of deliverance and healing ministry. Even the few ministries around me then were ignorant of this type of ministry, and talking to them resulted in my being even more confused. I came to the conclusion that this was a hindrance that was created by Satan. Each time it would happen, I would say, "You spirit of hindrance, get out of me. I command you to leave me, get out of me." But the more I commanded, the more clearly I could envision people being healed. So when you don't have teaching, you know, think about that. He's thinking that he's hearing people being healed. He's thinking he's hearing from Satan. He's thinking it's a hindrance just because he didn't have any revelation in it. He goes, but I kept envisioning people being healed. I became so desperate I could hardly preach. The visions constantly appeared, so I made it a matter of fasting and prayer, waiting upon the Lord. Then in my heart, I heard the Lord say, "Son, that is not a hindrance of Satan. That is a visual desire of the Holy Spirit. It's the word of wisdom and knowledge. God wants to heal these people, but God can't heal them before you speak." "No," I replied, "I don't believe that. God can do anything without my ever saying a word." Wow. Later, I saw in the Bible, the first chapter of Genesis, the earth was without form and void, and the Holy Spirit brooded over the earth, incubating it. But nothing happened. God then revealed an important truth to me. He said, there was the presence of the Holy Spirit, the mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost, incubating and brooding over the waters. Did anything happen at that point? Because God was actually there? No, I replied, nothing happened. Then God spoke. You can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in your church, the pulsating, permeating presence of the Holy Spirit, but nothing will happen. No soul will be saved, no broken home rejoined until you speak the word. Don't just beg and beg for what you need. Give the word. Let me have the material with which I can build miraculous happenings. As I did when creating the world, speak forth. Say, let there be light, or say, let there be firmament. The realization of that truth was a turning point in my life. I then apologized to God. He said, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'll speak forth." But still, I was afraid, for no one had taught me anything along these lines. I was so scared that nothing would happen when I spoke forth. then what would happen? Then what would people say about me? So I said to God, since I'm afraid, I'm not going to speak out about the cripples I see healed or the disappearing cancer and tumors. Father, I'll start with speaking just about headaches. After this, when I preached, visions of healings would spring up from my spirit. But when in my mind's eye I could see cripples healed or tumors disappear, I ignored them. I would speak forth, someone here is being healed of a headache, and instantly that person would be healed. I was amazed that just by me speaking these things, they would come into being. Little by little, I gained more courage. I began to speak of sinuses that had been healed, then of the healing of the deaf, and finally spoke of all the healings I saw pictured in my spirit. Now in my church, on Sunday mornings, hundreds of people receive healings through that channel. Because time is so limited, because of the multiplied services, I must act quickly. So while I'm standing, the Lord shows me the healings that are taking place, and I call them out. I simply close my eyes and I speak forth. In recognition of the fact that they have been healed, people start standing up. They stand when the particular disease or illness of which they have been healed is called out. During this portion of the service, many people all over the auditorium rise to claim their healing. Thus, I learn one secret. Before you give the word, the Holy Spirit does not have the proper material with which to create. Now listen to that. The Holy Spirit does not have the proper material with which to create. Before you give the word, the Holy Spirit does not have the proper material with which to create. If the Holy Spirit imparts faith into your heart to remove a mountain, do not pray and beg for the mountain to be moved. Rather, be removed to yonder sea, and it shall come to pass. If you learn this and make it a habit to speak under the Holy Spirit's anointing and in faith God gives you, then you're going to see miracles in your life. Hallelujah. And he goes and talks about ministering 50,000 of people in each service. But what I had on my heart, to the Holy Spirit directed me this, because, you know, that's what our prayers do. Our prayers are us speaking unctions. We're decreeing things. Or when we're praying the word, we're decreeing things. And as we speak things, we have to see, and not really see, we have to know that we know that we know that what we're praying is actually materializing. It's actually being, things are happening. God is speaking through us, and we're praying things with that unction and the direction, and realizing things are changing. Things are changing. Things are moving. That's the power that we have in prayer. You know, prayer, there's no such thing as a silent prayer. There's nowhere in the Word of God. I grew up in a denominational church, and one of the things they would ask every service, especially on Tuesday night services, do we have any unspoken requests? and I didn't know that, so it was like, you know, of course, you know, everyone raises their hands. Yes, there's unspoken requests. Well, that's like, at least put them on a board or something. I mean, at least so we know where we're praying. So we have to understand prayer. There's nothing about prayer that's unspoken. It has to be spoken. It has to be decreed. There's no such thing as having silent. Now, you can pray under your breath. You can meditate the word with thinking. But ultimately, there has to be something that's being decreed and declared. Amen? So whether we're praying in tongues and we're praying in the spirit, or we're formulating and interpreting what we're praying and speaking out, that's when things are going into operation. You know, it says that in Hebrews, talks about that the angels are ministers to those that are prayers of salvation. But we also have to know in other scripture, it says they hearken. They hearken to the words. They don't hearken to our thoughts. They don't hearken to our unspoken requests. And so it's like, so what God was saying to David and Cho, he's like, give me something to do. Give me, let you know, I can only work with your words. And even what I've been talking about with righteousness and those things, and why I've been saying, hey, you have to say that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Because ultimately, we always say what we are and what we have, or what we don't have. But we have to start saying what we have, who we are, because it renews our mind to the fact of what we are, who we are, and what we have. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Our tongue. You know, even if we were going back to the Psalms, it's one of the Psalms that he says that our tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. So even that the psalmist is writing these things down, but you have to understand they're psalms. And psalms are songs, and songs are meant to be sung. So David wasn't writing these things down so we could quietly meditate them. He was writing things, the fact that they could be spoken or they could be sung. And of course I could show you that this psalm to this psalm is this. These are the psalms that are songs of ascent. These psalms are songs of lamentations and all those things. They're all categorized and what they are, but understanding that they were things that were meant to be decreed and meant to be spoken. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's speak some things. Amen. Let's speak some things. Let's just start off praying in the Holy Ghost for a little bit. Hallelujah. Oh yes, we yield our tongue. We yield our tongue over. Hallelujah. I thank you that our spirit and our tongue, hallelujah, are instruments that you use tonight to release things, hallelujah, over this nation, to release things over our community, over our church family, over our fathers in the faith. Hallelujah. Kinda basha brada keso. E propakateshta bratala mahasora. E kayatala bashto brene. E kayada bo oste brende de geesor rabaya. E koyondo Roboste brata la mahaso brana, iko roboshio brokata la baya, iko yandele mahasom brendele de baya, iko yondo rebatele nemosom broga, ekayata la mahasom broga terre de ba, eko yondo rogoto rabai. Iko yondo robogoto roboso koto rabaya. Iko yondo robosho brogate remende rabaya. Eka yandele moho sombronde rebeya. Iko yondo rogonde rende leboko rendele de boya. Indo robogoto robogo shongondo roboko to rabaya. Iko yondo robogoto rebete lena maya. O yombronde rendele de boso to rogoto rabaya. Ido raman. Do regete le de bosso cor rabaya, indo ramando sobro cotor rabaya, itor roboco shebrande, ico yonde le mahaso tor raba, yeco yande le nemoso tor rabaya, ino lomoso cor roboso redele de boye, indo brocate rende lete remando rebeya, yemo so rebeya, iso rebeya. Ikor ramando reina, yetor rabando lo koshe breta la dabaya, sebranda la kiti diando, o rebenda la mahashote reina, iko yo monde rita la basso, so rebede de deboshe branda de degeno, o koya mando re de le dobrokane, iko no shemende liando, itor robosa, iko yande liando dogosho koya. Andele ne i dobro katalande do semande le giriando lo koshe i koyo mokoye i dobo shabrada keso broda la i do mokoshe brada de ketale giriando do koshe i kolo moho sharada bo sharede di iti ando dogo sarada da boye ne i goyondo lo na monde rindala na monte ride di giri asso corra i dolo moho shere de bo regete le ne maya zobranda la kendo na mo so rebeya o yende ndi ando toko shende le de baya o yamande rende likidi ando do koso rabaya. I moso redeya. I dolo shedede di asi. I robobogo shokoto robogoso. Oh yamama mama mama de de gete rebeya. Oh yande lene moho sete rede. Oh yemende rinda la da 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 boko sokoto rabaya. Oh yabata rabakete de isho so ko yabrade de geeto rabaya glona mando dogo shoko rebeya jebre de ligidi aso rebeya glona makaya tele de boko so rabaya yona mande legede de bo rebekiti ando roboso. Oh, bratalabo shebre de ki sor rabaya. Glona maha sobrete de gisi. Goya mando loboko shebrete de kena. E brokatele moso brokatelena. Iko yando logoto rebe. De sebrando ko songom bedira. E dolo monde brinda len morogoto re. De so de led no koyende. De sombrende de giti ando torreina. I torro monde rindana. E koyinda stekle de borra. I tonana isini ando. I koyindi di as. Sombora, I corra mando brana, e mondo ricchi di ato torrena, I sote sciniande, I atono locasi, I con mahaene, I diabo osso mamai. Adesso, coieni, I tona, I dala, e cumami di ghiriato, so de chistendo, lo con alena. E badi di ato cosene di iso to iena moie. Iabrati di cannolo costena. I coia ma rodoco steclin iatoso. Sedili ato bromaia deco sotona. Iacini andolo boona. Mahaia di chi iso de sele morenea. E caiemindia calena moiene. Ni sotorana nechino. Gomoco shikela niatota de este. Zabrata le no corocena. I caito stombrana, I tolamo delle chidi adoste brena, I coiandele ne mocoiadele esso, seni di lena mora, E caiatolomo scenina, E kenomo salina nenia sto brota gleda bosso con, E caiandolomo ste brena, Descelecando brocana, E colonna, E caiadele bosso con rabaia. Deso brokeni asi. Deso kone. E shale moho sekele de isi. Ede bosha kede de ishi. Sembro ko terre de bosha. Ira brostare. Just hear this, and let the language of your spirit grow. It's hard to express something that it, because a lot of spirit-filled believers, it's they pray their language, we call it the ancient language, our tongues, we pray from the surface level of our tongues, and it's repetitive, it's in the same, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's a thing where if we have the language of the Spirit, that you should get over into a thing where it almost sounds like you're in a conversation, because you've gone deeper than the surface level. Imbro de kesta brade ke sombra. Desho broke na nabaya. Enemusha de ge esor rabaya. Jegiriaso bratele no kosana. Desho brakelene mahaso deshti niaso. Ko yi ti no do rekiti di aso. Bisti klina makaya ti ishi. Deshta klina mohoste kleda boosa. Desho brokala da ba aso. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, we just press into you. Kendos de clenamonde breti kidi di isho so. Il robocoia telegando to costa brade. Indo loca si cando bo osha di assi. Boste le kenemo cuia brate le kenda da 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 bosso. Bisho tonda kai tiligi isho so. Bese tondo do regeni i. Ho ya ti ashtikeda bo usa brade. E bele moti anda klena mo so broka. Desho so. Does anybody have anything to pray out, to speak out? Nieremo hoshaya tikia tondor rabai. Soya talamando koshor rabai. Oya talamando koshara. Father, we thank you for utterance. Utterance. Hallelujah. Thank you that the utterance that comes from the Holy Spirit. Yeraboya danda keshtor rabaya. Thank you, Father. Sora kela mando koshor rabaya. Thank you, Father. Salaboko si da 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 bosho so. Yelamoko so rabai. Hallelujah. Father, we take our place in the Spirit, that position and place of authority, in that position and place of obedience, Lord, to pray over all those that are in authority, to pray over our nation. You know what's where we are as a nation. You know where we are, Lord, within the elections and the things that are going on. So we bring this, all the primaries that are taking place tomorrow, we bring them before you. Even this being an election season, hallelujah. Let's just, with a focus on this nation, a focus on the upcoming elections and all that's taking place, let's just pray in the Spirit with a focus on our nation. Hallelujah. Bore kenda la baso. Kora baha shite le boku satena. Iro bogo shoso. Although we know we have your word and things that we can pray about. We have things that we can pray, Lord, that our eye hadn't seen, nor ear heard, nor entered our hearts, we can release by the Spirit. But Lord, we don't know how to pray. You told us to pray the utterance of the Holy Spirit. I lo mokosana, ekina mokobare, ebele boho sebre ki titiki shto so rabaya, zedebo katinda kalene moho sapronena. Ika labo oste bredi kisto so. Zebrendi kisho prokana. E kata laba aso prenini aso. So kaiatasa. E ko lenemendi bredi gedi di aso. Dosa brati kenda labo osa. E kandala mando brokati le namosa. E talamo zebrede ki isho so. O kala manda brade de ge esto brone. Dosa brati kesto bro kata rabaya. O la mahasele de boso bro kata rabaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dosa brade de kesto bro tala namaya. Holy, holy, holy. So tala bakeshta keda de boso rabaya. Nesso bro candele de ge esso rabaya. Ora de ge sto condere rebeia. Nele mossa brade de ge esso cor rabaya. Lord, I thank you that yes, foundations are shifting and shaking in this nation. Lord, we still stand upon Psalms 2 that says you are Lord of the harvest, and we ask for this nation, Lord, as our inheritance. The kingdoms of man are breaking. The kingdoms of man and the things that man have established are crumbling. I thank you, Lord, according to your word, that the enemy's plans come to nothing. Thank you for constantly. Thank you for angels. Angels to reveal truth. Constantly, whatever is in darkness would come to light. as the people of God praised, as the people of God prayed, as the people of God sought the Lord and looked to heaven, it said that ambushments were set up. So, Lord, we don't look to man. We don't look to one party or the other party. We look to heaven, and we declare that the kingdoms of man will be subject to the kingdoms of God, of the kingdom of God. We stand in our authority against all the works of the enemy and the works of darkness and the works of deception. If anybody has anything as it pertains to praying over this nation. Hallelujah. Gonda bate la kando do koshor da ke da 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 bo so kor da bai. Ne shara da gesto konda re de 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 isho. Bo shara da da de gesto ko la da da bo so. Thank you. Hallelujah. That blinders would be removed. Thank you for eyes of understanding to be enlightened. Thank you, Lord, for giving a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge. Hallelujah, over the people of our nation. We come against the spirit of deception. The blinders that would declare, and as Isaiah would talk about, that you call evil good and good evil. And things will be able to be seen as they plainly are. As they would say, light be, we say, eyes be open. Understanding be open. Thank you, Father.
These scriptures have already been referred to a couple of times, and Pastor just said it. And I've been led by the Holy Spirit in regard to praying for our nation, right out of Genesis chapter 1. And so, Father, we pray for the Spirit of God to hover and brood over the United States of America, especially every part of it that is without form and it's an empty waste and there's darkness. Upon the face of the very great deep, that you just brood over this nation. Hallelujah. I also begin to understand that without light, you can't see the darkness that you're in. That would be equal to, we're basically saying the sin that you're in. But also without light, you can't see the Lord God Almighty. So this is a verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and he approved it. And he separated the light from the darkness. So we thank you, Father, for brooding over this nation, that the Holy Spirit just broods over every part of this nation, from the East Coast to the West Coast and from North to South. Every state, every city, every town, every village, communities, families, businesses, schools. every place where a human lives, that the Holy Spirit broods over this nation. He hovers over us. He just hovers over us. And He's a quickening spirit. He's a quickening spirit. And just the same way that He raised Jesus from the dead and quickened His mortal body, He raises the dead parts of this nation to life. In Jesus' name. And He is not having the United States of America, because we are taking this nation by force. We know in whom we believe. And we thank You, Holy Spirit, as You brood over this nation, that You convict and You convince of sin. You flood the eyes of our heart with light, and we can see it. And we come out of darkness and into Your marvelous light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And You know how to speak in a language that every person understands. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Dobra si ki kenglong king de brokotiste. Bridisi bigite. Bring us into our determined purpose, which is to know You. Amen. And the power of Your resurrection. We don't want to barely make it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We take this nation by force. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we decree the lordship of Jesus over the United States of America. We decree the lordship of Jesus over every state capital, over every city, and over every town, and over every family. We decree the lordship of Jesus. This is His nation. And that's the way it is.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank You, Father. Mm. Hallelujah. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, they voted today, and it was 9-0.
Okay, good.
The Supreme Court voted today because you had 30 states that wanted to remove Trump from the ballot, and so this is the first time I've ever seen the actual Supreme Court actually voted 9-0.
Well, thanks for letting me know that.
So they understand what they're trying to do was unconstitutional, and that's what people understand. They don't know the Constitution. And I think what we need to understand, because you can get mixed figures, like things in the news that say, like someone came to me and they said, oh, what do you think about when Trump said that, you know, that when I become office, I'm going to be a dictator? And I was like, did he say that? And I went back and he made that statement, but the statement you have to understand was in the right context. What he actually said, which progressive liberal-leaning things that constantly, what he said was, I would be a dictator on the first day, the only the first day to do something about the immigration. That was it. That was the statement. It wasn't like, I'm going to be a dictator. It was, no, he said, on the first day, so we actually do something about this thing with legal immigration. And that was the, but if you hear that and you don't understand or read the what was said, then you're going to go off here and you're going to say, oh, well, and then it can get people in fear. It can get people in fear. And so you have to be cautious. And this is both sides. I'm not saying one side, but my thing is you have to understand. That's why we have to stand for righteousness in things. And there's things that we have to understand what is actually going on, what's actually happening. I mean, in the month of December alone, you had 300,000 immigrants that came across in 1 month. And people I know that work down there, most of them were not Mexican. Most of them were not Mexican. People they were arresting were Muslims. They were from Venezuela. They were from Cuba. They were in places that are for communism. And so they were drug cartel people. They're constantly, you know, and people don't look and understand news. And so, what I'm saying is you have to be discerning, and you can't be led by what's being said, because you're not going to get the whole story of everything, of what's happening. And so one thing we have to be stand in is understanding. It's even if they'll say, well, this president is racist or this. It's like, why would you say that? Well, because he said this. But did you look at his track record? Did you look at his track record while he was in office? When you had other presidents for years, whether it's Obama, you had Bush, but yet you had Trump that stood up, and he's the one that signed the HBCU. And so, but they're not going to preach that on CNN. They're not going to preach that on those things. And that's why they got mad when Lil Wayne and the thing went, and they were mad that he went and talked to Trump. But they were like, we're proud of Trump because we've been trying to get this push for years. But yet you're not going to see it in the news. Why? Because they want you to think a certain way. I'm not saying that, I mean, I like everything about a person, but I have to look at the fact that they're not, the biggest issue is someone, Trump is not political. He's not political. He doesn't play the political game. And it's like people don't like that. Republicans and Democrats. That's why there's been such an issue. I've never seen anyone that was more in the news after they were president. Think about it. I mean, he hadn't been president for 3 years, but he's still the top talk of the news. You got to say, wait a minute, what's happening here? They're afraid because of change. They're afraid because they want things to be hidden. They want things. And people say, well, you know, there was this bipartisan bill for the immigration. Did you read what was in that bipartisan bill? Actually, it was more money going to Ukraine and Israel than helping immigration. But yet they'll stand on, well, there's a thing there, and we want Republicans to sign it so they get mad. So they can say, oh, well, we've tried to do something, and Republicans are against it. Because did you read what's in there? Most of it doesn't have anything to do with immigration. But if you ask the everyday person that goes to church, those points get people angry, and they try to hate one party over the other party. Instead of what is the truth of it. And so what we have to be praying and guard against is the division that these things can portray. That's what we have to guard, is the division in the church, division in communities, because what causes division? Fear. Well, I don't want to vote for that because of fear. I don't want to vote because of fear. You have to, that's why, if you're without knowing truth, and I mean, people say, I mean, there's just not a whole lot of great options out there, ultimately. But the thing is it's like there's still a thing of right options. I mean, I could go on and on. I mean, just ask yourself, how much have you had to pay in taxes over the last 3 years? I mean, I paid more than $2,000 a month in taxes over the last 3 years. So something's changed somewhere. I'm starting to get on my soapbox. But the point is, this is why we have to pray. We have to pray. And we have to see things from God's perspective. Yeah, a Supreme Court. But to me, that was a breakthrough. That epic 9-0, because it's plain and simple. This is unconstitutional, and I mean, and so to me, that's amazing that when you have 9 justices and that none of them all agree on everything. So this to me, that was a statement that, okay, at least all, whether you're a liberal judge or a conservative judge, it's like they believe in the Constitution. And that's what our nation was founded on, the Constitution. I mean, I could go on and on. I mean, you have this person is going to court for this, and yet the person that's in office has done the same thing. And yet it gets thrown out. I'm talking about documents in their house. Anyway, I mean, I could go on and on. It's just lopsided. It's just like, I mean, maybe we should pray.
Just so everybody knows, from the chief of staff to the secretary of defense, they all have places, phones that they can use to call because they go different places and they spend time at their homes and stuff like that. So you're going to have documents at your house that are sensitive materials. And that's not a surprise to find that in their house, okay? There were many times when we were at the Pentagon, we had to call individuals that were at their houses, and we had to go secure on secure phones, and they had the secure phones at their houses. So we had to discuss businesses with, you know, elected chief individuals in chief places, you know? So that had to take place. So when I go on the news media and I hear everyone say Trump's got all these documents, you know, are you surprised? No, I'm not surprised because...
Which he declassified anyway.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, we classify things from just, you know, regular for official use only to confidential to secret to top secret to all these different levels, you know, depending on what kind of damage it would cause if the information was known. And each one has its repercussions on it. But that was just something that I thought was funny in the news media when they started jumping on that, because one of the reasons why the military holds things from political offices is because they talk, and the easiest way to get information from countries is from politicians. And so when Ollie North was on trial, you know, they were all mad at him because he destroyed documents. Well, of course I destroyed the documents. If you got a hold of them, people would be killed. We would lose our allies, things like that. These things are supposed to be keeping from you so that you don't know that. It just goes, I mean, it just, there's some play in there and all that. But Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus for the Supreme Court, Father. This was put into the hearts of the framers of the Constitution for a particular reason, because they knew that there would be situations where parties would just be against each other. And just because one party is using it as a tool, they don't understand if they pass that and if they get that thing to pass, it could be turned and used against them later when they are relying on something and then they get all mad about it. The Supreme Court was supposed to be made as a check and a balance on what goes on and takes place in government in the United States and the federal government and what the states bring forward, Father. And I'm glad, Father, that they were able to work together to see just how unconstitutional it was, Father, to do that. It's dangerous, Father. Just because something's right, you don't want to change something that's, you don't want to change something that's right to try to use it as a weapon to get what you want. That'll come back and backfire on them in the name of Jesus. So we just thank you, Father, for giving courage to the Supreme Court to sit down and to look at things and to be able to have the freedom and the ability, Father, to do what you've called them to do and what the nation has done with the Supreme Court. The United States will always be a nation by the people, for the people, of the people. It will always be a nation where life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness happens. It'll always be a nation where the Constitution will be upheld in the name of Jesus. The Constitution is the framework of this nation. It was divine and inspired by the Lord, and it will continue continue to be divine and inspired by the Lord. Yes, as a nation, we have growing pains. Yes, as a nation, we have made mistakes. Yes, as a nation, we have not understood completely what it was about and what it was for. But we are learning, Father, in the name of Jesus. But one thing that will not fall is the Constitution of the United States of America. That document will live. It will continue to live. It was made and birthed in your presence, Father, in the name of Jesus. It was a light to the world. That's why the Statue of Liberty was put there. Bring me your tired. Bring me everybody. Immigration wasn't being made to be used as a weapon to try to keep people from the United States. Father, in the name of Jesus, there is wisdom on how to deal with immigration in the name of Jesus. There is wisdom there in the name of Jesus. And we are done with politicians using this as a tool and as a weapon to try to get things done in the name of Jesus. It was never designed to be that way. It was designed to have people come into the country properly, legally, to come in to bring ideas, to come in to find freedom, to be able to follow the Lord, be able to speak the name of Jesus, be able to have the freedom. Poor people coming in here, Father, that would never, ever be able to do anything else in the world. They'd never be able to dig out of poverty. That's why capitalism is so important, Father, in the name of Jesus, because it allows somebody to come from another nation into this country. It allows people from this country that were born in poverty to be able to take the Word of God, to be able to rise, to be able to get out of the depths of poverty in the name of Jesus. This nation is a beacon in the name of Jesus. It is a beacon, and the Constitution is a beacon in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for the nation of Israel, because it is a nation that believes in capitalism. It is a nation that is founded on the Lord. It is founded on the Scriptures, Father. And I'm going to say this again. It always comes off of me. Hamas is a terrorist organization. That government will never be respected. That government is not supposed to be respected, because it is a nation that has chosen terrorists to run it in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to say it again. Every one of those roots are coming out. We prayed for the roots to come out, and they found all those tunnels. Now we're going to pray for the roots to come out of that government in Jesus' name. That nation does not deserve Hamas as its... Those people do not deserve... I won't get into it either, Father. I got to stay off on this in the name of Jesus. But we thank you for the Supreme Court in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that you've placed this as the trifold of the Constitution of the United States. They have the right and they have the job, Father, to do this in Jesus' name. I'm sorry.
Pastor, thank you,
Father. One of the other things that we were doing in prayer today, we were talking about the power of words, right? Mm-hmm. I want us as a church to remember that if words are creative and words are power, we've got to be careful what we're speaking over others. I don't care what the situation looks like. Stop speaking words of death over others in the name of Jesus. We've got to start learning to speak life over others. Well, I don't like what they did to me. Okay, so then what does faith say? Faith says speak life. Use your faith. Pull up the roots of the mulberry that's trying to destroy that. In the name of Jesus, this church is going to be known as a church of love. And in the name of Jesus, these words that have been spoken from other people's mouths, making fun of other people, saying things about other people in the name of Jesus, words are creative. Words are designed to create power. Words were designed to move. So in the name of Jesus, this church is going to be known as a church of love. Words are going to stop being spoken about one another. People are going to stop speaking negatively without knowledge about one another. They don't know what's going on. They just see things going on in front of them. But in the name of Jesus, we were speaking about the light bringing up and uncovering darkness. That's what we would do. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that they see the light and they begin to understand who the enemy is. Let's pray for one another. Let's speak words of life over one another in the name of Jesus. Thanks,
Pastor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. So, Father, we speak positive words over our nation. Father, we declare that this nation is unified. We declare that we walk in love one towards another. We thank you, Lord, that this house and this church and the people of this church will be unified. We speak over Dr. Savelle and we declare he's strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We speak over him and we declare that he's full of revelation and insight in knowledge. We declare that he operates in the seeing and the knowing, and what you show him in secret, he will declare upon the housetops. I thank you as he ministers and continues to prepare for ministering Sunday morning. We thank you for an explosive service. We declare that the word and the spirit will come together and it will bring revelation, bring forth resurrection life, and signs and wonders will manifest. I thank you. We decree and we declare that the people of Heritage of Faith are coming up higher in every area of their life. That we declare that the people of Heritage are progressing, advancing, experiencing promotion, and seeing their highest expectation fulfilled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We decree that we have everything that we have need of as a church. We have all the buildings, all the resources, all the finances. Thank you, Lord, that we are building exactly what you have designed and ordered out of heaven for what we're to build in this next season to impact this community. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We declare the people of Heritage have no lack. No lack over the people of Heritage. Divine health over the people of Heritage. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for coming tonight. Hallelujah. Go give him Jesus.